Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Tazria, and we are within 2 weeks of Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaPesach. We are now within the month of Nisan. The question that I want to deal with this evening is the following. Can chametz ever be ignored? Meaning, can you ever halachically look at chametz that you know about and just say, eh, it's fine. Whoa. Let's start with the parsha. All right. So now, number one, AB said, "Bittel." Well, that's not ignoring it. That's actively. We'll have to talk about that. Actively, halachically, kind of, getting rid of it by being mevatalit, by nullifying it. And Adam's pointing out another example is that you have the luxury of ignoring chametz that is very small, of peirurin. I think Gemara speaks about it explicitly also. Excellent. Okay. So let's start with the parsha. Tazria. We'll learn a beautiful Meshech Chachma as a springboard to this halachic topic related to Pesach. The Torah in the beginning of Tazria says as follows: "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron leimor." So Adam kiye or besaru seisos apachos veheres vayiv or besaru lenega says huvel Aaron hakohen o elachad mibarav hakohanim. So someone has some form of lesion on their skin that is potentially tzaras, and they go to a kohen v'ra a kohen es anega bor a baser v'sear. But ego hafach lavan, so the hair turns white. Umar and ego amok meor habasaro, and it looks deeper than the rest of the skin. Taka it saras nega tarasu vero akoin vitime oso. So there it is. The Kohen will look. He will pronounce it as saras, as tame, impure. Rashi points out gzeres akazav hishein tumas negoim v'taras and el alpi akoin. The whole halacha is not do you have saras or do you not have saras. Rather, what it's did the Kohen declare. That's it. It's all about the Kohen. Did the Kohen declare that you had tzaras? Because if the Kohen did not declare the lesion, the skin thing, to be tzaras, you don't have tzaras. Now, this opens up a potential opportunity to, quote-unquote, ignore tzaras, says the Mishnah in the Goyim, Rebbe Chinin Eskana Kohanim. Omer, ein roen es in the Goyim, betchila l'achar ha-shabbos. You never want, says Rebbe Chinin Eskana Kohanim, to set up a situation, well, you will have to inspect the person on Shabbos because you're not allowed to declare the person mitzora on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says no, disagrees. Machlokes Tanayim, and if the seventh day comes out to be on Shabbos, okay, you push it off a day, okay, whatever. But all of a sudden, Rabbi Chanina Sagan O'Connor says we don't look at these things on Shabbos. We don't do it. Now that's a mission in a goyim. In Moed Katan, Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara elaborates on this concept and says, wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me that it's all about the Kohen, whether or not I have Taras? Gemara says, yeah, that's exactly it. There's certain days where the Kohen looks, certain days where the Kohen doesn't look. Right? We just said on Shabbos, the Kohen might not look, whatever. Machlok is, how to set up the whole calendar date. But here's the key line. I, Mikan Amru, Chasan, a person getting married, Shinolad bo nega no snin lo shiva yameh mishta. We don't look at his tzara'as until after Sheva Brachos. Wow. V'chein baregel. No snin lo shiva yameh regel divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Unbelievable idea. And Rebbe also, again, agrees. He says, the Kal Vachomer, if we give time for him to clean out his belongings from his house, we don't want to ruin his his money, so all the more so, we're going to say for a Dvar Mitzvah, we won't ruin his Simchas Yom Tov or his wedding. But here it is, black on white, that Tanaim and the Mishnayos and the Goyim are saying, let's not, look at this on Shabbos. And in Moed Katan, we're saying, let's not look at this in a way that could detract from his Simchas Yom Tov or his wedding, his Simchas Chasan, his Ol Sheva Brachos. And the Rambam Baskin's like this, there's Hutumas Saras, which, no. In Shas, Mishnayos is Meseches Negoyim. In the Rambam's Halacha, there's Tumas Saras. Right? These are parts of the Torah that we should at least be familiar with to some degree. And the Rambam says that we always check Negoyim except for Shabbos and Yantiv. Okay, and then in Halacha Ches, the Rambam says Chasan Shinirbo Nega. No Sinan Lo Kivo Kol Shiva Simei Amishta. We do not look at him until after Sheva Brachos. And similarly, a Regel, unbelievable. So what is the idea over here? Why would we be so lenient? How could it be that we give the guy his full week of Sheva Brachos? The guy has saras on his skin. Isn't it a little bit bothersome that the halacha allows us to be so flexible. Says the Meshech Chachma, do you know, and his parish in this week's parsha, it's a beautiful idea. The Kohen looks, but there's something repetitive in the Torah. What did the Torah say? It said, V'ra'ah HaKohen, V'ra'ah HaKohen. It was, the Kohen almost looks twice, right? In Pasuk Gimel, the Torah says, V'ra'ah HaKohen. And guess what? At the end of Pasuk Gimel, it says, V'ra'ahu HaKohen. Asks the Meshech Chachma, what is he looking at two times? Number one, he's looking at the lesion, but number two, argues the Meshech Chachma, he's looking at the context. Does this person really have the time to be a Metzora right now? Derechei Darchei Noam. We don't want to stir his Simchas Chasan.
That's so we don't say Shomri Torah. Chas
v'chalil. Chas, I mean, that's a good line, but not my cup of tea. But Achein Ra'o Eichu Be'ichuso. Okay, granted, he might have Tzaras, but is he, what is he? Is he a Chasan? Is it Erev Yom Tif? Imu Ro'i Lefi Azmana Tumaso. Unbelievable idea. In Ashkafa, we give the guy a little wiggle room. Rabbi Yoni Pazik, an old Rebbe of mine, he was in a YU Kol in DRS. When I was in 12th grade, there was a YU Kollel in DRS, and there was a Rabbi Yoni Pazik, and he wrote these Divrei Torah every Shabbos for Shabbos, like he had like a little printout, you know? And I used to print it every Erev Shabbos through Shalavim. I loved it, through YU. And he was the one who taught me this Meshech Chachma originally through his weekly printouts. And I think it was either him or someone else he was quoting, said, it's Mida Kenegin Mida. Here, the guy who spoke Lashon Hara spoke too quickly. And what's the tshuva? He begs the Kohen to not, what? Don't open your mouth, please. You know I have tzaraz, but please, wait just a little longer. Look at the bigger picture before using your words.
The Kohen shouldn't.
Ah, very good. So the Kohen, so now the Metzora understands, I should also wait a little bit before I speak. And a beautiful idea. Okay, so now that we know that you can kind of ignore tzaraz a little bit, halacha, totally kosher. It's in the Torah. It's in the Rambam, it's in Shas. So what about chametz? Can you ignore chametz? It's Erev Pesach. I don't have time to have chametz right now. You find the chametz. If I tell the woman of the home who spent, you know, hours preparing for everything, if I tell her, it'll ruin the whole Simchas Yemtiv. That's not how chametz works. Right?
Taras is a different story.
Of course, right? Right. It's a different beast.
Taras, you could have taras and not be a mitzora.
Right.
But
so
chametz is valyera.
That's it. So the Kohen declares you a mitzora, and the Kohen has the right to not declare you a mitzora.
But it's a reality that's totally not in the mitzias.
Yeah. So you can suspend time for a mitzora. But what about chametz? So can you ever just look at a piece of like bread and say, you don't count right now. Like, that's not really bread right now. Is that a thing? So let's learn a little bit about Bittel. We'll learn a little bit about how the Rishonim analyzed Bittel. And we'll see a few distinct halachos in Shulchan Aruch based on Gemara Pesachim, where we kind of have this awkward tension in the halacha, where sometimes chametz, even that we know about, can be either ignored or we'll say less than significant. It could be, we have the right to be less machmer with that chametz. Let's see. Gemara Pesachim Dalet Amud Beis. Kevan debedikat chametz midirabanan. The actual search, that's only on a rabbanan law. Why? Why is it only midirabanan? Because midaraisa, you do bittel. Which means once you declare that your chametz is no longer yours, so what? You don't have to go look for it? What does that suggest? That you have the right to what? To
you could ignore the rest of it.
Yeah, there
once
it is.
You revatil, there's no more chametz to even...
Whoa!
That's another way of looking at it.
So either AB is right, like what one might have thought that, well, obviously you can't be mevatel chametz that you know about, or no. You're allowed to look at a bagel in the face and say, you're not mine anymore. That's it?
It doesn't mean it is Afrodiara.
Oh, okay. So Rashi says, of course, Machlokes Rishonim. Yeah, Adam. Adam. TABC parent. Bibitul ba'alma. Dichsiv tashbitu. What does Torah say? You have to destroy it. It never says you have to burn it, says Rashi. You have to burn the chametz. So you destroy the chametz. You could destroy the chametz where? In your mind. A mentalist. Not even in your words. Vashbasa delev hi ashbasa, says Rashi. Internally, you have the right to say, you're not chametz anymore. What? That's right. You just made Tom Mrs. Bagel a can of worms. That's what you just did. Says Tosfos, it's not exactly like that. Midaraisa bitul works because what happens after you mevatel it? It's hefker. So what is that? It's hefker. What does the Torah say? Torah says you're not allowed to have your own chametz, but you're allowed to see what? Other people's chametz. You're allowed to see chametz that belongs to the base of Mikdash, of Hekdish. So what's the whole mitzvah? The Avera, you're not allowed to have your chametz. So once you declare it not yours anymore, so not like Rashi, not that you zapped it with your eyes and it's like destroyed halakhically. It's just not owned by you anymore. Once it's not owned by you anymore, what? It's not a problem halakhically. Doraisa, doraisa.
Why doesn't it say be mafkirit? It says be mabata.
Very, all right, good. So Shita's toast was like that. Now, basically, the Ramban asks like 1,000 questions like you, AB, on Tosfos, and he disagrees. It's not working from Hefker. He is more in line with Rashi. He wants to argue the Ramban that when you do Bittul, you're declaring that you don't have anything to do with the Chametz anymore, and it's like Afra Da'ara, right? Meaning like Rashi, that you're zapping it into dust. Right. So exactly. Tosfos is Hefker. Tosfos is Hefker. Ramban is Afra Da'ara. Right, so that's the Ramban's lashon. Now, Rashi, like the Ramban, says hashpasa delev, it's tashbisu. So the idea is that it's just not yours anymore because the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz. But once you are mevatel, you say kol chamira, you're saying this thing is not mine. I want nothing to do with this Thomas Bagel anymore. And that works.
Well, according to Rashi, you wouldn't even say that libatel lehev hefker. You would just say libatel.
You don't have to say anything.
But you would think libatel.
You can think it's, yeah,
now
done.
You don't have to think hefker.
Yeah. Rashi would say you are internally deciding this is not yours anymore. It's done. You're deciding that it's not significant. I don't know if the Ramban would say that lev is sufficient or he requires verbal bepeh. He says, lefichas zesh yiskimu daito. Daito. V'yatsa levat l'shelo yed bodin mamon. Right? Yeah, see, yeah, the Vita Badas. That's it. Seemingly, they're not saying that. I have to look at it a little closer, but he's seemingly saying, like Rashi, even believe. Now, this is a fascinating sheet of the Rishonim, that it's a Gemara, and all the Rishonim are explaining differently. And the first Tosfos, Bezim and Aleph and Pesachim, Bezim and Aleph, that why do we do B'dikas Chametz? Asks the Re, you don't really need to do B'dikas Chametz on a Doraisa level, because once you declare Kol Chamira, so the Chametz could be ignored. So he says, well, the chametz were machmir derabanan, because if there's chametz in your rishus, what might happen? You're going to end up eating it, right? Or maybe what's going to happen? I don't know how this stuff can happen. But ultimately, we have to be more machmir, because, you know, chametz is usually halakhically permissible. You used to sing an OU on a Thomas bagel, so it's kosher. So we have to be more machmir. But ultimately, Tosfos would say, deraisa bitul works. Midrabanim would be more machmir to do with Bidika as well. And now the Ran is the one the Mishnah Berurah quotes. This is a famous Ran. The Ran al Arif, an Aleph Amad Aleph, and the Dape Arif, and Mishnah Pesachim says, it's true that Midaraisa, you have the right to zap your chametz into dust, but humans are frail. Our das is limited. You try relying on a human. You want to ask AI to do bitul chametz. Okay, artificial intelligence is reliable. A human, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to a human? He's not going to mean it. Why not? Say the Chachamim, he's gonna mess up. Because who really wants to forgo all of that money? Ela mipnei shebitul zeh taloi b'machshavoson shel b'nei adam ein daitein shavos. You're going to find a little bit of a leniency, the whiskey, you're not going to fully zap it. So the Chachamim say, you got to also get rid of it physically. Because if your Thomas Bagel staring you in the face, or your beer staring you in the face, you're going to, your head's, I'm going to zap it with a lowercase z. All right, and then Mishnah Berurah actually quotes this Ran almost verbatim, where he says that really, Minotaur, you can either do only Bedika, or only Bittel? But we do both. Why? Because if you only did Bittel, who's going to have the mental capacity, the mental strength, that resolve to fully get rid of your chametz? So we also get rid of it physically. Okay, very nice. Very nice. So we get rid of it physically. We search. We burn it. Beautiful. But midaraisa, you can ignore chametz. Isn't that an amazing thing? On a daraisa level, you have the halakhic authority to ignore your chametz because you declared it worthless. Wow. Okay. Now let's look at some cases where the halakha will actually almost like circle back to say, well, since midaraisa, you're allowed to zap the chametz into nothing, we can be a little bit more lenient. All right. So I didn't put on the marmakom as crumbs. I think crumbs would be a great example where we revoil. I remember he gave such a great shiur entitled Preparing the House for Pesach. He gave it to women on Sunday morning at the Midreshet Yom Rishon program. It was on YU Torah. I always listen to the shiur before Pesach. Do you know why? He was giving a shiur to women. He was saying, calm down. Don't worry.
Don't go crazy.
He was trying to really alleviate the burden. And he was saying, he started saying, a mitzvah midaraisa is to have simchas yom tov. Go home and tell your husband to buy you a new dress, to buy a new jewelry. And he ended with simchas yom tov. And he said, chametz is only a problem with the kezias. Don't look for crumbs. And he was really, it's very pleasant. It's very pleasant listening. You get a lot of information. And also his whole tone is derachea, darchei, noam. It's a beautiful tone, as we love. And there's another example in that shiur where he says you can ignore chametz in the vacuum cleaner bag. Because sometimes the halacha is concerned.
There's no more greater than that.
Yeah.
You're never going to eat that.
But the halacha says if you have a little bit of chametz over here and a little bit of chametz over there and they're going to be combined to a gezayis, you have to be worried about that.
If you're going
to
eat it.
So in the vacuum cleaner bag, the chametz is combined into one kli. But Rav Willick says exactly what you're saying. That, yeah, but no one's eating it. You look in your vacuum clean bag, and it don't look like, right.
So you're
right.
Not to do your garbage either.
Says to put
bleach. Yeah, so we spoke last year.
You don't have to.
Right, so some poskim would even allow you to say that you could ignore the chametz in your garbage bin. We spoke about that last year. Good. So let's look at some other examples. But, yeah, last year we spoke about the tension in the poskim of the garbage. Rav Willig, lenient number one on crumbs. Not just for Willick, and number two, on vacuum cleaner bags, another example. But let's look at the Marmukum. Yud Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Bayu Rav. Rav asks a question, and this question is like the main question of the whole evening. Kikar b'shmei Korah. You know there's chametz up there on the beam, up there like in your attic.
No one's going to go get it.
So asks the Gemara, Tzarech Sulam Lorida, oh, ain't Tzarech. Do you need to go get a ladder to bring the chametz down? Or maybe the Rabbanan are not going to be so machmer. Why? Because what? Why is it only the Rabbanan? Because what can you do on a Doraisa level? You can what? Be mevatel it. So that's the shaila. Do we make you go crazy or not? Because you can say, whoa, 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 whoa. There is chametz up there. And Rashi says, vivata beliba, meaning maybe you, like AB saying, that listen, we're not going to make you go crazy because you have the halakhic right to just declare it ownerless or zap it, you know, like I like to say this evening. Just it's worth nothing. So the Gemara does not answer the question. The Gemara says, teku. Gemara says, I don't know. When Michelle comes,
or the crumbs behind the refrigerator.
Oh, the refrigerator is another great example.
No
Rav Willig,
eat that.
Rav Willig was also lenient on the refrigerator case. We'll talk about that. So, says the Shulchan Aruch on this Gemara, Kezayis Chametz, if it's a Kezayis, Lamala Alakor, it's all the way up there. It's all the way on top of some beam. So forget the fridge. Let's say it's on top of the fridge or it's on top of the bookshelves. Some bookshelf that you're not going anywhere near there. So, Shulchan Aruch says, you have to get a ladder to bring it down. Because you know why? Sometimes it falls. Uh-oh. Now, the Shulchan Aruch just said that, and the Mishnah Berurah makes two diukim. Number one, it's only if it's a gezayis. If it's less than gezayis, maybe you could just do bittul. But not everyone agrees to that. Maybe, as long as you know there's chametz, you have to get a ladder. Now, what do you have to do? Get a ladder? Yes. Why can't you just be mevatalit? You know why? Because it might fall, and you might eat it. So that is where there's a suspicion if it's going to fall, and you might eat it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, let's say it's not on top of the ladder, not on top of a beam, but rather down in the ground. If it's in a pit,
Behind the fridge.
That's the fridge case. Ein mechayven oso la'alosa. You don't need to get it out of the pit. Ela mevat lo b'libo v'dayo. You can just do bittel, and that's enough. Now, again, I'm going to use the word ignore. Now, you're not really ignoring it, because you're doing bittel. You're declaring it ownerless. Now, why is that okay? Why is that okay? Because it's in a pit. It's not coming out of the pit. So it's there.
And Lamaisa, I'm not sure if I will have said it.
Yeah.
If you discover that you didn't even know that there was stuff back there and you were never mevatel it, it's still not over because a normal person would be mevatel it.
Is mevatel me'elav, may be saying that. Yeah, sometimes by nature, if it's so yuck or so small, it's naturally mevatel me'elav, the Gemara says. Very good. So the only chumra here would be that if you use the pit on Chol HaMoed, if you use the pit all the time, it's a place where you normally go, then it's not enough to declare. Right, it's not a pit. It's a playground, whatever you want to call it, a sandbox. So if you use it, you got to get rid of it physically. Okay, now this is not a toy. Doesn't mean you're allowed to proactively hide chametz. Because that's another violation. You're not allowed to do what's called bal yatmin. You're not allowed to hide chametz. You might have thought, well, listen, bal yiraba, you might say. So, all right, let me hide the chametz. I won't find it, I won't see it. No. To proactively, hide chametz like an afikomen, that's not okay. No. And even if you're mevatel that, no. You can never take chametz and hide it proactively. That's an usser. No good.
Because that sashes you're going
to
eat it.
Right. It's no good. You're not allowed to do that. No good. So I think this halacha really just hones into the crux of the sugya where there's this tension because when it's up top, we do make you get a ladder. When it's down low, you don't have to go get it. And if it's like somewhere in the middle where you might go or you do it actively, no. You have to be real. You have to be real. If there's a suspicion that it will fall, midr rabbanan, you have to get rid of it. If there's no suspicion, you don't have to get rid of it. But you're not allowed to proactively hide your chametz. All right, now another example where this comes up, and this is really the refrigerator case also, where there's chametz buried under rubble. Chametz shenaflal alav mapolis. So there is chametz, but a pile of rubble fell on it. Says the Tanakam in the Mishnah, Laman Alpha Mebeis, it's mavur, it's done, you're done, and you're no issue. Well, Rav Shimon Gula says, whoa, can a dog reach it or not? You can only forget about it if a dog won't get it. Says Rav Chista in the Gemara over there, you have to also do bittel. It's under the rubble, you got to do bittel. And a dog, by the way, can reach 3 tefachim deep. Yikes. Now, why would you have to do bittel, says Rashi, because maybe the rubble will become undone. And what happens when the rubble goes away? Oh, there's a Thomas Bagel. That's not good. It's your Thomas Bagel. So how is this presented in Shulchan Aruch? It's like this. So let's say you have a wall that falls on your chametz. If it's not 3 tefachim tall, you don't need to do anything. Why? This is a funny thing that we're afraid that when you bury in the rubble, you're going to get bit by a scorpion. It's dangerous because in rubble, that's where scorpions hang out. So we're afraid that you're going to get stung if you're not doing a mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem protects you. When you're not doing a mitzvah, yikes. So what's the halacha over here? If there's a pile of rubble, but what if you know there's chametz there? You know for a fact that there's chametz under that rubble, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you know about it, well, now it depends. If it's not 3 tefachim deep, get out. Get the chametz out. What about the scorpion? Use a tool. Don't use your hands. And what if it is 3 tefachim? Mevatel b'libo v'dayo. There it is. So here it is another case where you know 1,000% there's a Thomas Bagel. Why are you allowed to ignore it? Because there is a pile of rubble that's 3 tefachim tall on top of it. And therefore, you have the luxury to just be mevatel b'libo. And that's why Rav Willig says, under your fridge, you don't have to clean. Because it's under the rubble, and that's it. It's done. You don't have to look. He says, you don't want to clean under your fridge. He says, who knows what you're going to find under there. That's what Rav Willig says. Now, bittel is only midah rabbanan, because maybe the thing will become undone, the rubble, whatever. Midah raisa, the only issue would be to proactively hide it under the rubble. Right? But here, the rubble was natural. It fell. So midah raisa, you're good no matter what. That's opinion number one of the Mishnah Berurah. Opinion number two of the Mishnah Berurah is no. On a d'oraisa level, you have to actually still be mevatel it. Why? Because Because what? It's there. It's there. If it's there, what, are you hiding it? You have to be mevatel. So it's a machlokas. You have to be mevatel on a deraisa level or a midrabana level. But again, another great example of where, like, the halacha will say, okay, you know chametz is there, be mevatel it, and that's fine. All right, now here's where the Gemara in Maseches Pesach Mehamed Beis gets to something very, very important that's going to really come up in our world in 2024. The Gemara is trying to figure out which chametz is required to get rid of. What are you allowed to have on chametz? Like, are you allowed to have other people's chametz? What about a goy's chametz? What about, you know, if it's your chametz and a goy's property, is this Baal Yerah? Is this Baal Yematzeh? There's Baal Yatmin. And the Gemara is back and forth, your property, not your property, other people's chametz on your property. And one key takeaway from that Gemara is that if a goy has his chametz in your property, you might have to get rid of it if you're responsible for that chametz. But says the Gemara, if you're not mekabel achrayus, if you're not responsible for that property, it's his and it's not yours. If it got destroyed, you would not have to pay him back for it. You don't have to worry about it, even though it's on your property. Can anyone think of a scenario where you would have a goy's chametz on your property on Pesach? Every Jew ever. What do? We sell our chametz and we keep it in our homes. So halachically, what do we view that as? There's chametz of a goy in your home on Pesach that you're not responsible for. Which means if that chametz gets destroyed, you don't have to pay him back. So are you allowed to have it in your home? Yes. Because the Torah will say, are you allowed to have other people's chametz in your house? Well, lo yerlecha. Ba'yera only applies to your chametz. Ba'yimatzeh applies even not to your chametz. But that only applies if you're responsible for the chametz. Here, it's not your responsibility. Oh my gosh. And there's another issue. What happens if you find your own chametz on Pesach? Can you ignore it? Absolutely not. Gemara Pesach and Vavim and Aleph. You find chametz in your house on Yom Tov, you cover it up. And what if it's not Yom Tov? You have to destroy it, of course.
Yeah, but if you sold it and people...
That's it.
I don't know when that comes up.
We'll talk about it right now.
The Bergen record once put a little snack in there. And
we'll talk about it. All right.
And so I got it on Pesach.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah, you get the cereal box in the mail. It's the worst.
And then a Jewish person sent me a gift.
Yeah, the gifts, the doctor. Oh, yeah. Yep.
On vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get it in the mail. It's a big problem.
But you don't own it.
All right, so you. It's up to you if you own it. Hold on, that's another Sefer Shulchanach. The Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. No, it depends. We'll talk about it. Very good, very good. Another halacha in that Gemara. If it's chametz shel goy, it's not yours. What's the halacha? You have to make a mechitza of 10 tefachim. Oh my gosh. So, Gemara Pesachim just said, if it's Yom Tov, cover it. If it's not Yom Tov, get rid of it, you have to burn it, right? If it's a goyz, you have to make a mechitza, right? So what's the issue nowadays? So again, the Rambam brings all these halachas down. We don't have time to go into the details in all Rambams, but ultimately, the Shulchan Aruch says black on white that if a goy gives you chametz and you're not responsible for it, so all right, there's a leniency over here. So you know what is very awkward nowadays? When you find chametz in your house on Pesach, is it yours or not? It's not really yours.
You sold the chametz in the whole house. It's not
yours. It's not yours. So it says the Shulchan Aruch over here, if the Tav Mem Aleph, an Akum that gave you chametz, if you're chayv, you have to get rid of it. Oh my gosh. And then the Shulchan Aruch says Tav Mem Beis, if he gives you chametz and you're not responsible for it, you still have to make a mechitza, 10 tefachim. Because what happens if there's no mechitza? It's not yours, but you might come to eat it. Oh my gosh. You have to make a mechitza. And let's talk about this for a second. So you sell chametz, right? What do you have to do with the chametz that's sold? You have to put it somewhere that's separate. You have to make a mechitza. I put a mechitza. I put a tablecloth over all of the in our basement. We have shelves. Any chametz we sell is in the shelf. And I make a mechitza. We have a chest freezer. Any chametz that's in the freezer, we put in the chest freezer. I tape it shut. It's a mechitza. Now, I do want to justify. There are some people who only have one freezer or whatever, and they'll sell chametz. Now, people will put it in a bag, tape it shut, whatever, but they're accessing the whole freezer on Yom Tov. So I want to justify. There's a bir halacha that says it might be okay to have it not in a mechitza if it's not readily edible. So something raw that needs to be cooked, So I think there's room to justify the freezer thing.
Or if it's covered over and taped.
Right, that's a mechitzoza.
You're not going
right.
to open it.
All right, so case by case, very good. If it's in a special bag, it's taped, etc. But sometimes it gets a little bit dicey because the fridge and the freezer, it's a little bit quote-unquote close to home. All right, now here's the issue. An Akum goes into your house. He works for you. Is he allowed to eat chametz in your house?
Sure.
Not.
You get fired.
You can't eat at the same table with him, but he's allowed to have lunch in your house with his chametz. So again, another example. You can kind of like ignore that. Now, obviously, the Mishnah Berurah says you better clean up that kitchen really well. If you're going to use it afterwards, an amazing idea. But again, it's his chametz, not your chametz. Fascinating. You just can't eat at the table with him. Now, here's where things get very awkward. You find chametz in your house, so we say if it's chol hamoed, burn it. The only thing is, the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says you can't really burn it anymore. Why? Because you sold it. Is it really yours to burn? So it's a machlokes poskim. If you're even allowed to burn it, maybe you're allowed to burn it. But it's not so clear that you have to burn it. Why? Because when you sell your chametz on the document you're writing, whatever chametz is in my possession, I don't know about it, whatever it is, it's sold. So one time I had this case, unfortunately. My wife did the Pesach shopping, and she's chilling with her sister, Yael Rosenbaum, who made Aliyah, and is in Afrat HaDagan. And my sister-in-law, Yael, sees some, like, breadcrumbs in the cabinet and says, that looks kind of like chametz. And we, like, start laughing at her, like, we're pretty from Yael, like, come on. And then we look at it, and it's like mamish chametz gumur, right on our shelf. And what did I ask my wife right away? I said, when did you buy this? She said, before Pesach. And I said, ah, phew. Because she bought it before Pesach, it was included in the sale, it was included in the bittul, it was included in the everything's fine. So I might not even have the right to burn it. You could put it with the sold chametz, and you're good. Now again, if I wanted to burn it, I could burn it. If I wanted to bleach it, I could bleach it, flush it in the toilet, whatever. But what if she would have bought it by accident that morning? Because sometimes in ShopRite, in the non-Jewish stores, they will mix the aisles before Pesach is over. And you could easily make a mistake. So if my wife would have said, I bought it this morning, wasn't included in the sale, wasn't included in the bittul, I would have to burn that on the spot. Yikes. I just happen to love this halacha where if you live next to a goy and his chametz rolls from his house onto your roof, there's a concept of getting it off with like a stick, but not to touch the chametz. And poets can say, this would be the rabbanon to like to touch chametz on Pesach. Wow. So if you have a housekeeper or whatever who eats in your house, it's not a problem. It's not yours. It's not whatever. But if his roof has chametz and it rolls onto your roof, the halacha is doch vo bekane, tough mem vav gimel. Get rid of it with a stick. Don't touch it, says the Mishnah Berurah, because you can touch it, you might eat it. So again, I wanted to just highlight the tension in the halacha because on one hand, Bittul ba'alma, bittul b'daraisa works. But in the Rabbanan, we say you might not even be able to touch chametz on Pesach. So I think overall, there's so many different halachas you have to know case by case. But on one hand, you have to be very real. You can't ignore chametz. You're never allowed to just like ignore chametz. You have to be real. The Rabbanan caught our bluff and said, okay, we know you guys. You're going to be mevatalit and you're going to want to eat it. Right? It's not. You have to be real. And the idea is that if you have chametz of another Jew in your property, and he's not coming to claim it back, then you have a chiyuv to get rid of it. Call Yisrael Arivim Zebazeh. And if it's his chametz on your property, it says the girl, you have a chiyuv d'oraisa to get rid of it. And this evening, again,
even on Pesach, it's not a matter of geneva.
Very good.
You're saving.
It's not geneva because you're saving from the aveira. That's exactly right, Avi. So again, I think, are you ever allowed to ignore chametz? Only of a goy. But even if it's in your property, you have to make a mechitza. Only if he's eating it, and you're allowed to only interact with chametz if you're in the process of getting rid of it on Pesach. So we're 2 weeks out, Bezer Mishrobi Zoha, to get rid of the chametz, midaraisa, midarabanan. And, Baruch Hashem, we have a halachic system that protects us from falling prey. But the idea is not to ignore the problems, but rather to acknowledge the problems, to face them head on. And even though the Kohen was able to look at the bigger picture of Beit Zara'as, that's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. When it comes to chametz, we don't mess around.